now, Nevada Real Estate Radio. You'll never go wrong when you get your advice from real estate professionals that you know, like, and trust. Here is your host, Peter Padilla.
Hey, good day, everybody. Welcome to Nevada Real Estate Radio. Good day to join our program. We are talking about all sorts of things happening in real estate across the country. It's really kind of funny, some of it. You hear about what's happening in the Midwest. You hear about what's happening in the East Coast and things here in the West. One person that I know deals with clients all across the country in real estate, business owners, entrepreneurs. Her name is Sherry Hill. She's the Wealth Protection Diva. And today she's going to join us to talk about one very important thing that I'm concerned about, and that's this: family working with you in real estate. Back after this.
Time and time again, people come to Sage International Incorporated because they experience confusion about the entity or entities they have formed either on their own or through another service provider. If you do not understand how to obtain solid liability protection, effective tax reduction, or have never given any thought to the importance of exit or estate planning issues, then the Sage Facilitator Program was designed specifically for you. To learn more, call Sage International Incorporated at 775-786-5515 and schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry Hill today. The Sage clients enrolled in the Sage Facilitator Program have discovered that this proprietary process creates tremendous peace of mind for themselves and their families. It's time for you to stop worrying by calling 775-786-5515 to learn more so we can help you today. Call Sage International.
The most productive hour of your week. Here is your host, Peter Padilla.
You're tuned in to 93.7 FM, and this is Peter on Nevada Real Estate Radio. With me in the studio today, Sherry Hill. She's the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International. Welcome to our show, Sherry Hill.
Thank you, Peter. Always fun to be here.
And it's fun to have you, too. I was enjoying listening to with you in a conversation with a client recently, talking about some issues that they had because they had family members that were involved in a piece of real estate. And it got me to thinking about my mother, long dearly departed Julia, God bless her soul. She had property in her name and in also her sister's name. And I remember some of the issues toward the end of her life that were prevalent during that time. I asked my mother briefly once about it, and she said, well, it's important that the real estate always stay in the family, so that's why it's in two, or in this case, three or four sisters' names. And it's still in the family today, Sherry Hill. But I'm wondering about, in general, what's it like? Is it a good idea to add family members to the title of your property so that, you know, it stays within the family?
Well, I'll just share this recent story. So I'll change the names to protect the innocent, of course.
Yeah.
So there's a property back east, and when the parents passed, they did not put the real estate inside a trust. So what they did is they titled it under the four siblings.
Oh, so the property now goes from the parent, so that when they pass, it goes, suddenly it's owned by four of their children,
right.
All of their children.
Right.
Well, that's very nice of them to do that. And, you know, I would think on the surface, Sherry, that sounds like a very, very nice thing to do and a very generous thing for a parent to do and a loving thing. I'm sure that was all good.
Yeah, right. So now what happens is you have four siblings owning the property. You have one, a sister, who lives on the property with her adult children who don't pay rent. You have a brother, a convicted felon, who thinks he should have all of the real estate. You have a sister on the West Coast who's responsible, and a brother in the Midwest who is also responsible, yet they keep getting notices that the taxes aren't getting paid and that they're ready to go into foreclosure. So the responsible sister and responsible brother, they pick up the tab, they pay the taxes, they pay whatever's necessary. Life goes on until the next bill shows up. So she called me, the responsible sister on the West Coast, to find out, well, if we moved it under an LLC, would this help? Of course it would help. There's only one issue. Would all four siblings sign on to moving the property under a limited liability company? Because if one holds out, which we know the irresponsible sister with the family squatting on the property, no one paying rent, no income being generated, it's a huge chunk of land that you're going to have issues. And so now the dilemma is, hold a family meeting, find out if all four would sign documents to a deed, actually, to move that real estate out of their personal names into an LLC. So you might want to ask, why would that make sense?
Well, yeah, why would it make sense? But I've got so many questions, But tell me, why would it make sense to move it to an LLC? What would be the advantage of that?
Well, because right now, if it's held in all four siblings' name and one of them passes or has issues or gets a judgment or anything, it affects all the other siblings.
You mentioned the word responsible when you were describing two of these four siblings. It brought to mind somebody like you. You're a responsible person. I consider myself a responsible person. So I understand the world of responsibility. However, when you're dealing with two people that are irresponsible, I would bet that's the biggest challenge.
Well, it is, because now all four have to agree. So this is really the message to whoever owns real estate. You have to be really clear about where do you want it to end up. So a living trust is ideal because you would have named those four beneficiaries, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
However, that property could have stayed inside the trust, right, until such a time as everyone agrees to sell it or do whatever they need to do with it. You don't have to just move it out of the trust just because someone died, right?
My guest is Sherry Hill. She's the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International. Works with a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners, top managers, investors, real estate investors, and families, people. It is so people-driven, Sherry, the real estate business. I honestly feel, coming from a big family, that the more people you have involved in holding a real estate, a piece of real estate, the more challenges you're going to have, especially when you don't get to choose who those four people are. Because, you know, if you're a person that is going to want to bring those people into your property and name them, you're probably going to do a little bit of research, you're going to know about them. Maybe you're going to ask yourself some good questions. I don't think the mother asked herself certain kinds of questions that she should have. I mean, do you think that she had any idea when she did what she did that it would be like it is today?
No, of course not. They don't expect that, and they want all their kids to get along, right? But moving it inside an LLC, so let's say all four siblings move it into an LLC, that's ideal because now what I would also suggest that each sibling has their own living trust. So that when something happens to one, their beneficiaries are next in line, right? You don't have to dismantle all the real estate. You don't have to deal with each individual because now the LLC is the holder of the real estate and the people can come and go.
How long do you suppose that these four siblings, Sherry Hill, held the property after their mother passed before the two of them realize there's a problem?
Oh, it's been several years. But now the one responsible daughter is getting tired because she has to keep stepping up to pay for everything. Mm-hmm. And the worst case is that she ignores those notices and it goes to foreclosure. Now what do you do?
Yeah.
You have a brother who's a felon. Where's he going to go? You have a sister who can't seem to be responsible about the property and all her family living on. Where would they go?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, you know, it's really tough after the decision was made to put the property in the name of the four siblings. Now is when all the problems happen. If the mother had talked to you before or anybody who knows a little bit, right, just a touch, about the importance of leaving your assets in some sort of a form that can be distributed without too much hassle for all the participants, right? If you really care about your family, you're not going to just dump whatever you've got on whoever steps up and good luck, good riddance, because that sounds kind of like what might have happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so there are certainly several ways to do this more effectively.
All right,
right?
All right. Let's say that this woman had talked to you, Sherry Hill, about the fact that she wanted to leave her property for her four children. I don't know how long ago that was, but what kind of guidance would you have offered if you could have?
Well, first and foremost, I would have directed her to an estate planning attorney so that they can really lay out what is the ultimate goal. who should end up with the real estate? How do you want that to pass down? If you already have irresponsible children, then just putting title in their name is not effective. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, of course, we move it to, if it's investment real estate, we move it into an LLC with the living trust as the member of that LLC. So now we've accomplished asset protection, stability, asset protection, estate planning, all of it balled up into one. But anytime that you have real estate, right, especially investment real estate, you have to protect against probate, estate taxes, siblings that don't get along, et cetera, right?
I can imagine how difficult it is for all four members of the family now, Sherry, having to deal with this real estate problem that really they inherited from their mother, when they could have gotten something so much more pleasant had they done it the right way. I mean, what would their life be like now?
It'd be a lot easier because now under the LLC, it would be responsible to pay the tax. So whoever is the responsible sibling would get the notices, mm-hmm. right? And be able to deal. But also, because it's held in an LLC, force the one sister to start paying rent, the brother to start paying rent so that they can cover the cost to maintain the real estate.
Mm-hmm. Always the challenge when you have multiple people on real estate. And I really do think it gets more complicated exponentially the more people that are on the real estate. So the thing is, if you have a choice of putting multiple people on a real estate deal or not, you know, maybe this mother in this case might have said to herself, who is the responsible person? And I could put that person as maybe a majority owner so that they'd have some control, because if she in fact knew, I don't know that she knew at the time that she made this decision to leave the property in the four children's names, I don't know if she knew that two of them were not responsible.
Right.
If she knew that, then she made a big mistake by leaving it in four parts equally. You are correct. But she might have been better off, if she knew it, to leave it with one or even the two responsible parties and then let them help their drug addict brother or sister, aunt, whoever it is that's living there, and the other sibling, and help them out. I mean, there are so many ways, but real estate and family, that has been some of the biggest complication in my clients' lives, Sherry Hill, and in my life too, because family is complicated. I've always said family is where you do make exceptions.
Yeah, well, and you know, remember, this is just one story amongst millions, right? That's the key. And so the cautionary tale here is, if you own real estate, investment real estate, you have to do something. It has to be titled in a way that you don't create problems, issues, struggle for that next generation on who you want to leave it to.
You know, it sounds to me, Sherry, like you really have two choices if you're thinking about leaving real estate to an heir. You want to leave them a good piece of real estate, or do you want to leave them a bad piece of real estate? Because if you leave them a piece of real estate with all sorts of problems, like probate, first of all, and other people on title, second of all, and it can just get more complicated or more, you're actually handing them more trouble than any help at all.
You're almost better off to sell it and then split the proceeds and let them go on their way.
It would be much cleaner, and yes, everybody would be less stressed out.
Even better, if it's investment, 1031 it into a vehicle that doesn't require you to end up with more real estate. There are lots of choices in that regard, so it's like 1031s. And then you end up with funds that you can now also live on as well as disperse.
You know, you learn so much by talking with Sherry Hill. I do every time. And I know our clients have great success because we have a lot of them. Sherry Hill, 30 years in business. That is amazing.
31.
31 years already. My gosh, how time flies. 31 years, and here at Sage International, same office, same building.
Same desk.
Same desk. That is a darn good desk you've got. Well, you help people start and operate and run their businesses, and I'm thrilled that you can talk with our guests on Nevada Real Estate Radio 2 about the operations and the challenges of doing real estate deals with family. It sounds to me like either way, if you're doing a real estate deal with a family member or with just a friend, a partner, doesn't matter, make sure you're structuring it the right way going in, because
exactly.
That's the easy part, is when you start to decide how you want to exchange real estate, sell real estate, whatever you want to do with it, you have to have some willing and cooperative partners, and that's what it is in real estate. So if you know somebody that is going to leave real estate to their kids and you don't know for sure whether they've got it structured properly, ask them if they have a living trust to do it the right way. Otherwise, they're just going to leave their heirs a whole lot of problems. Sherry Hill, I'm glad you've been with us today.
Thank you, Peter. It's what I love is I never have to make anything up. It's just the conversation I had 2 hours ago, right?
My gosh, you've got great stories. And I'd like to invite our listeners to tune into your radio too, The Sherry Hill Show, airing Mondays 11:30 a.m. and Sundays at 1 p.m. on 93.7 FM here in Northern Nevada. Sherry, thanks for being with our guest lineup today.
Awesome. Thank you, Peter.
When we come back, we are going to look at what's happening across the country in the world of real estate. It's mind-boggling. We'll be right back.
If you want the best tax and legal secrets used by successful real estate investors today, contact Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International Incorporated, a local company that's been helping new as well as seasoned real estate investors for over 20 years protect their hard-earned wealth today. To schedule a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry, call 775-786-5515. That's 775-786-5515 to strategize with the Wealth Protection Diva today. Call Sage International.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us, it's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, help, we're underwater, or the wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work.
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com. Natakwa News. Fun for all ages. Natakwa News. Pick up your copy today. Natakwa. So the big headlines in one of the local trades I picked up recently was talking about Detroit, Michigan. You know, Motor City, who would have thought of all places in the country that it would be having a housing boom, a real estate boom? That's what's happening in Detroit, according to the Wall Street Journal. So barely a decade after Detroit declared bankruptcy, the city is emerging as the country's most unlikely real estate boomtown. It's a development frenzy that has gripped Detroit's central business district that has all the buzz in the Motor City. Big companies like Ford and developer-related companies are spending billions of dollars in office buildings and other types of properties. So who's in charge of this all happening? A guy by the name of Dan Gilbert. He's a Detroit native and a billionaire co-founder of Rocket Mortgage. Who said the Rocket Mortgage business wouldn't pay off? Well, this guy is really taking it to another level. In fact, he's leading the city's revitalization. He just built a new skyscraper that's almost ready to open, and it's going to be topping out at 681 feet, making it the city's second tallest building tower. Now, it sits across the street from downtown Detroit's first Gucci store. I don't know if I've ever been in a Gucci store, but they've got one in Detroit, and it's the first one that was built in the country. Now, the city's residential market has also starting to take off. Home prices in the area are up 40% since 2020. Now, that's probably pretty comparable to a lot of cities across the country, including those here in Northern Nevada. But it is Detroit, you know, with all of the real estate problems and the Motor City problems and the automobile problems. It's amazing that it is now taking the steepest rise, you know, as part of the economy stabilizing and real estate holding its firm. Detroit is emerging as one of the top markets for investment real estate. Now, the number of apartments in downtown Detroit has more than doubled to over 5,000 since 2010, according to the Downtown Detroit Partnerships. Now, Detroit's business district transformation is giving a lot of input and advice to other cities that are working to revive their own empty downtowns and avoid being sucked into these debilitating dooms that are taking place along the country's smaller to medium-sized cities. Now, in Detroit, you know that if some things are getting better, not everything is going to be getting better at the same time. Office vacancy rates are still really high, and foot traffic is not rebounded since the pre-COVID era. General Motors made headlines just recently when it said it was staying in downtown Detroit, but moving its headquarters to the Gilbert Development area, and that's going to be a significantly smaller space than they had before. It's a sign of change, of filling up office spaces, and the change being that more and more people are working remotely. So, downtown Detroit's recovery is already really ahead of its schedule that they had planned previously. Its abundance of office empty buildings that offered a lot of opportunity. Well, a lot of them are nearly a century old, and a lot of them are just small buildings with small floors, outstanding architecture, according to the CEO of Downtown Detroit Partnerships. Well, these are exactly the types of buildings that work well, he says, for apartment conversions. Now, in a lot of other hot markets like the Midtown Manhattan market, a building like this would have been just torn down and replaced by all sorts of glass buildings, towers, big floors. But in Detroit, they have remained, quite frankly, as ruins, and they've been waiting desperately for somebody with the money to do it and somebody with the gumption to come and convert these things into living spaces, business spaces. And because it was Mr. Gilbert who moved his mortgage company's headquarters downtown from the Detroit suburbs in 2010, that really took the bull by the horns and made it happen. Now, when he made that move, he was concerned about safety. That was his biggest concern. The company built its own security apparatus with guards, cameras, and so forth to make the employees safe. But pretty soon they found that they needed very little convincing, in fact, to go downtown. He said that he began buying up buildings in part to make sure that they wouldn't fall into speculators' hands or into decay. And, you know, who knows what's going to be your next neighbor if you don't have any control over who that might be. So he just started buying property. He calls his real estate development strategy the Big Bang approach. Downtown needed apartments, he said. Retail they needed. Modern office space, he said. Well, which do you do first? He couldn't really decide. But then he thought that what he really needed to do was to have it all make progress at the same time. And he absolutely did it. Mr. Gilbert brought more than 130 properties to life downtown when he bought them, and he spent billions of dollars doing that. His real estate venture is called Bedrock Detroit. He converted, in fact, the Book Tower, which is a century-old 38-story Italian-style skyscraper, into apartments, hotel, offices, retail, event space, bars, restaurants. I mean, you name it, he really took it to town. It's a $400 million project, and it opened just recently. It just opened last year. Now, Bedrock is building its 681-foot skyscraper on the site of the former Hudson's Department Store, and it will make really good use of condominiums, hotel, and the neighboring office buildings that General Motors is moving into as part of this exciting project for downtown Detroit. But for a lot of the previous century, and the start of this one, in fact, downtown Detroit was more closely associated with crime, urban decay, needs of renewal, and so forth. That was between 1950 and 1930. And there, the population started to shrink, in fact, by two-thirds, from more than 1.8 million to around 640,000 persons living in Detroit. Suburbanization and the decline of car manufacturing has really left the office districts in downtown Detroit with a lot of empty and abandoned buildings. This big ruin downtown of the office buildings, it was really nothing in many ways compared to Michigan Central, that's Detroit's former train station. It has become a symbol of urban decay, and it was dwindling tax revenue that helped bankrupt the city from its high glory days, and it all happened in 2013. So Detroit, the home of the automakers, good news, because Ford is making reinvestments in the area, spurred by Mr. Gilmert's commitment. Ford is spending more than $900 million to redevelop Michigan Central and its surrounding properties. Now, the train station is scheduled to open in June of 2024. Detroit native Stephen Ross is partnering with the local family that owns the Little Caesars Pizza conglomerate on a $1.5 billion development on the northern edge of the downtown area that will include apartments, hotels, office buildings, and retail. He says one thing people don't forget is Detroit has a lot of new and old money, and rock-bottom office rents long ago forced developers to come up with other things to build, so they added casinos and sports venues and restored aging theaters. Now, that made downtown less office-dependent, an advantage in the age of remote work, but you know, after you spend that kind of money, it sounds odd to say this, but in a way, downtown looks more like Miami or Las Vegas, according to this person that we talked to. He says that downtown still has challenges, and foot traffic is down from 2019, a lot, again, because of the remote work, but that means fewer customers are going to be there for the local businesses. Rising interest rates and skittish banks have made it harder to pay for development, so the joint venture between Related and the Ilch family's Olympia development was scheduled to start building their first offices at their $1.5 billion project last year, but it was recently pushed back because of situational delays. General Motors' move will leave its old home at the northern edge of downtown Detroit, which is in the Renaissance Center, with an uncertain future. And as in other downtowns, people without housing who have mental health and addiction problems can present a challenge for business owners in downtown areas. Boy, don't we know that. So Desert Oasis hired a security firm for aggressive individuals to keep them from running into their cafes. And he says, look, you know, my people aren't trained to deal with emotional issues. We're here in business. We're here to sell coffee. So it's important to understand that all kinds of cities in the area of Detroit are having problems because of the statewide economy in Michigan. But if you look back in the last 20, 30 years across the country, other areas have had their ups and downs. And when you have an opportunity to invest in an area that is really beaten down, that's really where you're going to make your best profits. And the people that are making these investments in Detroit, Michigan, I think they're outstanding for investing back into America. And people are doing the same in other parts of the country. If you are interested in making an investment in an area that's down in its economy, be it in business or in home ownership or in available homes, whatever the deal is, those really are the best times to invest. Remember the old adage, buy low, sell high. So when something is hurting, something is on the bottom, you think it might be dragging down, I mean, look at its history. If it's been up before, if the market has been strong before, if the economy in that area has been strong before, there's a pretty good chance it might come back in the future. It just might take some time. So it's worth taking a close look at some of these areas across the country that have suffered, like Detroit, Michigan, and ask yourself, is this a good place to invest in real estate? We'll look at more on Nevada Real Estate Radio after this.
There is risk in owning investment real estate in your personal name. Sage International Incorporated, a local business, has been helping new and seasoned real estate investors with their real estate investment strategy by forming LLCs, series LLCs, and corporations for over 23 years to protect their real estate assets. Call 775-786-5515 for a free 30-minute consultation. That's 775-786-5515. Call Sage International.
The most productive hour of your week. Here is your host, Peter Padilla.
Real estate investors from all across the country want to know what the latest is happening. And what do they do? They go to the Sherry Hill Radio Show. It's the podcast, SherryHillShow.com. Today, we actually have the Sherry Hill Show in our studio, the Wealth Protection Diva, joining us today. Welcome to the show, Sherry Hill.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm a show, Peter.
You are a real show. I'm telling. So, you know, I hear this word registered agent all the time. It's two words, registered agent. But, you know, when I first heard that word, I thought, an agent. Well, I'm an advertising agency, so I'm an agent. And then, of course, there's the travel agent. And, you know, there's the marketing agent, the business agent, agent of record. What is a registered agent, Sherry? I hear so much about that in your business.
Absolutely. So Sage International is a commercial registered agent, and every single limited liability company or corporation formed throughout the United States must have a registered agent. And what we do is we're there to receive service of process. So if somebody wants to sue you, they bring the papers to my front door, not yours.
I don't want anybody to sue me. No papers to me, no papers to you, nobody. But Sherry, I know that that happens sometimes in business. And, you know, you want to have some distance between yourself and the easy litigation sometimes. It sounds like registered agency might be the way to go.
Well, absolutely, because I've never seen a lawsuit that doesn't have timelines and deadlines. And so if you work at home, you're a home-based business, or you're someone that has a lot of clients and customers that come through your front door, do you really want a process server to show up and disrupt business and hand the papers to the secretary, who may not know what to do with them and shoves them in a drawer? Or you, the owner, are out of town, you don't even know they were received. So as a registered agent, it is absolutely essential that a timely, accurate, and efficient method to get that information into the hands of the person that needs it happens on time.
Well, how do I know if my business, people are out there wondering if their business needs a registered agent?
Well, the reason that you want it, is because it gives you privacy. It's usually and always is very inexpensive. It's just one more chink in the armor of asset protection. I work with people all over the country. You're a real estate investor. You own real estate in different states. We're forming LLCs in all those states. It'd be nice to have one registered agent that can handle all 50 states. That would be us, Sage
really?
International.
Hmm.
Yeah. So now all the annual filings, all your questions, any service of process is handled by one agent,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? And so from a timeline from people trying to, you know, free up their plate, why deal with all the annual filings in all these different states? We know when they're supposed to happen. We know what we have to collect. We know how to get the information. We know how to file it. So it gets done on time.
So if I've got a tire repair shop, Sherry Hill, and I know a lot about tires and wheels and cars, but when it comes time to dealing with my business paperwork, all the registered agent stuff that you're talking about, documents moving back and forth, I'm not sure that I could handle that because that's not my area of expertise. But I know, Sherry, that so many people in business, I hate to say this, but it's true, a lot of entrepreneurs, they're cheap. They
yeah.
want to try to do everything they can on themselves. They figure they'll save a nickel here, they'll save a nickel there, and then before long, they've got a dime. I mean, what is the deal? Can some people go at it on their own?
Well, there are people that serve as their own registered agent, and I've seen the disastrous results because of it.
Really? Give me an example.
Because in order to get service of process, somebody has to answer the door, right? And if you're not home, or if you're away, or it's in the middle of your business, or it's after business hours or whatever, time clicks when there's lawsuits involved, right? It's deadlines. It's all those things. And so, no, I never recommend anyone be their own registered agent. Every single state has annual filing requirements. There are some states that the late filing penalties can be $500 if you don't file on time.
So your registered agent is going to keep up with all of that, because I know we're talking about potential lawsuits out there, but lawsuits don't happen to everybody. But yet, it sounds like everybody who has a business has to have a registered agent.
Well, let me give you a great example. I just took on a new client, and they're a huge electrical engineering company, and they do business in about 7 states. So they came to us. We became their Nevada registered agent. She said, oh, we're registered in all these other states. I go out and look, and about 5 years ago, they converted from a corporation to an LLC. But what they had filed in all these other states was the original foreign qualifications for corporations. That company doesn't even exist anymore, yet their expectation is they're legal to do business in that state. Mm. So now, going back, and we're going to clean all that up, right? So that now they are in compliance with the state laws. They are in compliance with their business licensing, and they're in compliance with actually doing business out of the entity they're supposed to be doing business out of. If you don't know what to look for, if you don't have any idea, then guess what? One lawsuit, one problem. A good lawyer is going to go, that company doesn't even exist, yet they're doing business in our state under a corporation when they are in fact an LLC.
So if you're getting sued for something else, like a slip and fall or an accident or something, and then they find out that you also are not registered properly, I mean, that can really duplicate.
Where does the liability land? That company doesn't exist anymore.
Well, I would think that the liability is going to exist on an individual.
Well, sure. So, I mean, these are all the things. It's not just, oh, we have an address and you can show up to serve papers on us. It's about the knowledge that we understand what's required in every single state, that we're able to handle all the paperwork and the documentation from initial filings to ongoing filings, and you have someone to talk to that knows what they're doing.
Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva from Sage International, is my guest today. Sherry, I would imagine when people call you about a particular problem, let's say it's about the registered agent, and they're chit-chatting with you about that, and they talk a little bit more about their other business dealings, other things they've got going, does it very often lead to another issue that needs to be taken care of right now, too?
Absolutely. We find all kinds of things going on. I mean, businesses change. Owners change. And so whatever you have filed at the state level needs to be updated and current with that, right? And we know enough to ask the right questions to find out what else are you doing out there? How else can we serve you? And of course, being a registered agent, we do way more than that. That's just one little piece of the service we offer.
So I'm curious as to what it takes to become a registered agent. Obviously, you've got years and years of experience. You have to have a treasure chest of knowledge. But what does it take? What are the requirements to be a registered agent?
Well, you have to have a physical address in the state. You have to be either a company or someone over 18. And the most important thing is that you have to be available. So we have posted business hours Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So a process server knows that they can show up on our doorstep on your behalf and hand us documentation that is going to get to you in a timely fashion. So people think, well, I'll go get a P.O. box. That doesn't work. Oh, I'll bring in my best friend. I'll put him on as registered A. He has no idea. Guy travels the world, right? Mm-hmm. So it really is critical that information, and it's not just lawsuits. We get stuff in from the government, taxation authorities. We're kind of, you know, this is what people go out and look at and go, who's that company's registered agent? We know we can get to them, mm-hmm. right? So, but the good news is we don't give out the information. I never give anyone from the IRS or the state or anybody your name, number, and address. They give everything to us, and then we move it forward.
So when they're dealing with you, these servers of documents, whatever, they're dealing with the company name. They're not talking to that individual. They're not looking for that individual. They're looking for that company. And I think it offers a great level of privacy, Sherry, in that, you know, if you are the registered agent for my business in Timbuktu or wherever I am in America, it's almost like we're open all the time. There's a business that's always there ready to take care of our needs. So it's kind of like having a secondary backup to my business when I have a great registered agent. So I see there's a lot of benefits to doing that. I love the fact that you save a lot of time and efforts because, you know, I'm a small business owner too. We have a lot on our plates and we don't we miss our mail sometimes, and I get busy in a production shoot. And next thing I know, I haven't checked my phone messages for 2 or 3 days. My mail, I mean, it can get crazy, but thank God I've got somebody to help me do that. And it sounds like a registered agent is a great partner to your business.
Absolutely. We save a lot of time because we take all that annual compliance off your plate. So typically when we're doing annuals, we're also doing minutes for our clients. We're making sure that all the information is current and updated, that we have it. And so if anything shows up, we're making sure you get it, right? But again, I'm not giving out your information to whoever's showing up. I've had people call me up and say, oh, they're with the IRS or lawyers. And it's like, I'll give you information when I get a subpoena.
Yeah.
To disclose.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have someone that understands the rules, the laws, and all of that, then they're not protecting your privacy.
Sherry, I know you told me before we started the show that a registered agent's address must be publicly accessible. Well, that means that if a small business is operating as their own registered agent, well, their personal address becomes a matter of public record. But by using a registered agent, that is all private, and somebody who's checking on your business doesn't find out about your address. Now, this might not matter much if your business is not a home-based business, but it could still make your address available to a lot of nefarious people, spammers, and so forth.
Why hand the keys to your front door to a lawyer? That's what I always say. It's like, put a wall in between you and the world, and that's your commercial registered agent. It becomes really critical if you're doing business in multiple states. It becomes super critical if you are a real estate investor and you have real estate in other states. Because here again, we just had one show up today. The guy got a cease and desist on the front door of his building. He lives in a different state. The property's here. How would he know? Because someone showed up on our front door and said, hey, I've got an issue. I've got a thing going on. Can you give me the information of the owner? No, but you can give me all your information and I'll make sure the owner finds out.
That's the way to do it, Sherry. It's nice to have you on the front lines. And that way, when entrepreneurs and business owners are back a little ways, they're able to navigate the challenges that come their way, keep their business going, and always maintain confidentiality and privacy to the max when they use Sage International as their registered agent. Sherry Hill, if somebody wants to reach out to you, learn more about Sage International and your work, what's the best way?
Well, they can call us, 775-786-5515, or go to the website, sageintl.com.
Sherry Hill, that's a great piece of information for our guests. I hope you think about staying with us on our show. I want to talk to you about something else, and that's real estate investors that are moving from state to state and the challenges there. Can you do that?
I can.
We'll do that after we get back from this quick message.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us. It's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, help, we're underwater, or the wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work.
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com.
And we're back on Nevada Real Estate Radio. Sherry Hill is my guest. She's the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International. Outstanding work from that company. 30 years in business. And amazingly, at the exact same location. Sherry Hill, were you not able to get a better deal on rent, or what's the deal? How'd you stay 30 years?
Because I didn't want to move my big, heavy desk.
Well, you know, the nice thing is that people know that you are there, and consistency, reliability, you know, somebody that you can count on. Boy, that is so critical in personal life, but what about your business to boot? You've got to have somebody that really, really cares about your business from the time you form it to maintaining it and watching it grow. Sherry Hill, you're the person that people reach out to in many cases because they are entrepreneurs. A lot of these entrepreneurs are real estate investors. What percentage of the work that you do would you say involves a real estate investment deal?
80%.
80%. That's you know, you're getting to that 80-20 point where, yes, that's a majority of your business. And it's a majority of our business on our radio show because even people that buy first-time homes for their primary residence A lot of them are thinking about the investment element. Well, now we're not going to have to rent, and we're going to build equity. And yeah, we're going to have to pay taxes and do some maintenance. But you know what? The way appreciation is going, this house is going to be worth more money in a year, two, five, ten, and then maybe I'll buy another house and another house. And there you go. That mentality is there from the very beginning. So when people start growing their real estate holdings, Sherry Hill, in today's investment environment, a lot of people are buying investment in other states. Even though they don't go to those states, they see a great deal through the internet, through their social contacts, and then now they're investing in maybe in Indiana or in Arkansas or in Texas or in New York. There are a lot of challenges when you own real estate in other states. Can you talk a little bit about those challenges?
Well, a lot of it is because you're not there. And so what's really cool, though, is there are, you know, professional property management companies all over the country that can help with that. The main key is to understand the environment and the area you're investing in, right? So what's trending in that community? Is Tesla or Amazon or semiconductor industry building a big plant there where they're going to have a lot of new employees and they're going to need housing? Are you in a place where there's bare land and you can buy that now? Hold, right? And then 2-3 years from now, guess what? A shopping center, a public storage, something that would make sense for that community. So there is so much activity going on with real estate investors right now, in spite of the interest rates and the lack of money flow and all of those, because what I'm seeing is people pooling their money together. So it's not me trying to do something on my own. It's my best friend. It's my brother. And we're pooling funds so we can go buy investment real estate.
So you have more heads in the game that way, Sherry. And I've always heard that when you have a good group of consultants, a good group of minds to work on a project, you can really come up with some great things because you don't have all your eggs in one head basket.
Right.
But there are complications with partnerships, too, and pooling your money. And I've had challenges with family deals as well. But, you know, you have to be creative in today's real estate market. I understand that a lot of deals are happening on a cash basis. I ask myself, where is all that cash coming from suddenly? But then I remember, with the appreciation of real estate over the last few years, I would bet a lot of folks are either selling real estate to get cash to buy more property or taking out a second mortgage on a piece of property that they own free and clear to buy other real estate for cash. Does that sound like it's the way this might be happening?
Well, there's also self-directed IRAs. There's insurance products that allow you to take cash out. Mm-hmm. There's hard money. There's savings. There's all kinds of ways that people are, you know, coming together to invest. Mm-hmm. And again, if you have four or five people, the chunk isn't as large, right?
Yeah, right.
So the LLC that we would form around that partnership is what protects each partner against the other and protects the asset mm-hmm. that you're buying.
So when people are looking to buy in other states, I know that most people think, well, where can I get the lowest price? Where can I get the best bang for my money? And then, does it tie in with my lifestyle? Maybe I have family in the area, somebody I could visit in the same state where I'm considering investing in real estate. And then ultimately comes the next moment, Sherry, considering what we're going to do for retirement. And that means maybe moving to another, maybe warmer area like Arizona, Texas, Florida. What happens? What is the process? What are the challenges when, let's say, I'm a big real estate investor here in Reno, Nevada? I've got property that I own from the East Coast to the West Coast, half a dozen properties in half a dozen states. Now I'm moving to another state. How do the corporations, the LLCs, how do those all flow so that they're registered properly with me?
Well, if you're holding real estate in a state you're leaving, then that LLC stays there. Some people 1031 out. There's lots of amazing ways to do transactions somewhat like 1031s. They aren't 1031s that allow you to sell all your highly appreciated assets. You dump them into like a deferred sales trust. Now you're free to go and invest wherever else you want. If you want to reinvest in real estate, or you want to go into a REIT, or you want to buy stocks, or you don't want to do anything anymore, there are fabulous tools out there. Different show that we could drill down into some of those tools.
You know, the thing I like about all this conversation, Sherry, is that the real other alternative is just to get a job at a factory and just punch widgets all day. And you will never have to worry about registered agents or real estate investing, LLCs. It'd be pretty simple, wouldn't it?
Sure, but like me, Peter, I'm unemployable, so I had no choice but to be an entrepreneur from day one.
And, you know, I love the fact that we have factory workers. We need them because how else would the factory operate? But my hope is that people that work in factories and the people that have, let's say, routine, mundane jobs are always working and striving to become something better for themselves and for humanity. That's where entrepreneurship comes to play. I love working with entrepreneurs because they're always thinking about other ways to do things better, make things faster, earn more money. Why is it important to earn more money? Well, that's horsepower. That's how you get things done in this world. It takes money. And you can't do good for other people. You can't help others until you have some capacity. Sherry Hill helps real estate investors make more money. A lot of it is, Sherry, I know, by being more efficient and by doing things right. I heard a story once about a guy who thought about incorporating his businesses, his real estate holdings, but he thought, well, I'll maybe wait till I buy my ninth property, and then I'll do it. And then all it takes is one mix-up, one mistake, and bad things can happen. Why don't you share with us any thoughts you have on that, Sherry?
Well, that's the key. It's, you know, if you want to build wealth, you have to understand that as soon as you have it, everybody else wants it, whether it's the IRS, an ex-spouse, a disgruntled employee, the government, environmental, whatever. And so creating true wealth is to protect it as you go, because anything can happen in any moment. Right? And it doesn't have to be something tragic, but it certainly can be something where it gets your attention, you're in court, or there's a lot of issue, drama, stress, and strife that didn't necessarily need to happen.
When I grew up, Sherry, we didn't have a lot in our family. We're not a wealthy family. We were rich in family and love. But the fact is, we had very little in possessions and very little money. It was just, we were just one of those families. But I remember when I got a little toy once, and I took real good care of that toy. I absolutely loved that toy, and I had it for a long, long time. And one day my mother was talking with me, and she says, you know, she says, I really love the way that you take care of your things, because that's how you keep things. She said, if you don't take care of things, you'll lose them, or they'll just go away. You'll lose them. You'll forget them. They'll disappear. You have to take care of the things that are important to you. Sherry, it sounds like when people talk to you about their business, about incorporation, about registered agent, they're talking about taking care of their things, of their possessions, maybe some of the most valuable things that they have or will ever have for their family. So it's a great value that you bring to these people when they come to talk to you. I want to encourage anybody who is running a business, entrepreneur, real estate investor, or you want to become one, you need to talk to Sherry Hill from Sage International. Sherry Hill, what is the best way to reach you?
775-786-5515. Visit the website, sageintl.com, so you can see a lot of what we're doing. What I see out there is so many people go, all right, well, I'll form my LLC, and then you're talking about taking care of it, and then 2 years from now, they decide, well, I don't need it anymore. They don't formally dissolve it. They don't withdraw out of the state if they're foreign qualified. And guess what? That gives no notice to the IRS or the state or creditors or anybody that you no longer want to operate through this LLC. So if you have one, you need to maintain it. When you don't need it anymore, we need to dissolve it.
You need to do things right in this world to be successful. That's why I'm glad to know and love Sherry Hill, the Wealth Protection Diva at Sage International. Sherry, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Peter. It was a pleasure.
It's a pleasure here, too. And I'll put all of your contact information on our website, NevadaRealEstateRadio.com. Make it easy for people to find you.
You have been listening to Nevada Real Estate Radio with Peter Padilla. We value your listenership. Want to talk with Peter? Send an email to peter at NevadaRealEstateRadio.com.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners, 24/7, 365, RapidRooterNV.com. Natakwa News, fun for all ages. Natakwa.
Next time on the Sherry Hill Show, I have Hugh Massey, who is the executive chairman of DNA Behavior International. We're going to talk about money energy, a key life force impacting every area of your life. So you get to decide how you're going to think about money, what your relationship with money means, and how you will talk about money. The Sherry Hill Show, Mondays, 11:30 a.m. and Sundays at 1 p.m. on 93.7 FM. The Sherry Hill Show, where business is amplified.